Hey there, this is Fishin' Frank, and guess what? Time for another Radio Fishin'. Yes, indeedy, December 20th, 2013, and we have Captain Kale with us, and it's always a crowd pleaser, as it is with our studio audience all the time. They just can't get enough of them. Hey, Captain, tell them to calm down.
Yeah, take it easy. You're going to go straight to my head. You're going to make me feel like I'm famous or something.
Yeah, that's us. The famous ones.
For this.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Oh, boy. What a day. Store's been mobbed. I mean, we just been going crazy.
Good.
When's the last time you had a day off?
Well, I think the fact that I have to think about it
it's been
kind
a while
of
ago.
A pretty good clue. Well,
what a good season.
My last planned day off was, well, the day after the Christmas party. Well, that was required.
Yeah, it took me till Monday. Christmas party was Saturday night. Monday morning, I was still fuzzy.
Yeah.
So, but what a good season. And I think just a lot of it has to do with how horrible the weather is everywhere but here.
Yeah. If you look around, you really don't see it. It doesn't seem like there's more cars on the road. It's not as noticeable as it usually is. You pull into Burnt Store Marina this time of year, the boats are double parked in Burnt Store. It's a ghost town in there.
I'm hearing the same thing about a lot of places. Thank God not here.
You know, I'm busy. I mean, you're busy. All the other charter captains here in the morning are busy. So
no, it's been a great season, and I think it's just weather related. Everything in Florida runs on sunshine. When it's warm and sunny, and let's face it, it's been 70 to 85 degrees every day.
Yeah,
we've had a couple days with a little bit of clouds. We're going to get a little tiny bit of rain again, but that's just icing on the cake. That's just making it better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even the days where it's been down in the 50s in the mornings, we're still back up to the 70s and 80s. I mean, we're seeing 30 degree swings. It was 50 degrees this morning when I got up, and by the time I was on the boat and moving, I was sweating.
I was really regretting this long sleeve shirt, because I either wear no sleeves or long sleeves. And I gotta tell you, this long sleeve was not the best choice today.
Exactly. That's why I sat there in the closet for a couple. Do I put in shorts or do I put on pants today?
Yeah, this has been tough. You know, the great thing about it is, you know, we're here having an argument, talking over should we wear shorts or pants or whatever. I don't think there's any place you can do that right now. It's like I'm wearing pants, boots, cover up, because it's either
16
raining,
layers. It looks like an Eskimo.
Snow. Yeah. So anyway, enough about, you know, how lucky we are to live here. We just are. So anyway, your charter today, it's been going along pretty constant, pretty steady, huh?
Yeah, I think the big difference was today I was actually on my boat. I almost forgot what it looked like. I thought I was going to have to start putting fuel additive in it because it's sitting so long.
Yeah, it's nice to be home now every once in a while, isn't it?
It is, it is.
There's no place like home. Yeah. There's no place like home.
I'm in control. I'm driving, so that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, you know, you're out there and you're doing those instructional trips and everything, and occasionally you have those moments, you know, where it's just...
You're right. You know, you do.
There it is. Oh, my God. But for the most part, they're fun. But there's nothing like being on your boat, because you know where to go, what to do, how to do it.
Yeah, I know what I'm capable of. I know where I can and can't go, and...
So, down in the harbor right now, there's a lot of different fish being caught. I mean, amazing. The river's on fire. The harbor's on fire.
Yeah.
Let's just do a little quick where to go and what to do.
As far as I'm concerned, you can never go wrong with the river. You know, especially in our wintertime wind patterns and tide patterns, you have a lot of places out there in the harbor where you can't get to.
So, how big were the redfish today?
We hit one that was 10 pounds.
Okay. So that's 30 inches easy.
Yeah. We hit a couple upper slot. A lot of little ones up there. The big thing that I saw that was strange is I really think those big redfish are in there eating the small redfish.
Really?
We saw a lot of smaller under 10-inch redfish that had bite marks halfway up them. You know, it's not a toothy bite. It's not an overlap bite. It's almost like a bruise on both sides of them. That's what it really seems.
Sorry,
to be.
Doing a little business here, Jeff. Is that a Christmas gift for somebody?
Yeah, Jesus.
Okay, so let's stick it on the top rack here. That's where we go.
price out.
Okay, it's on the handle.
It is on.
Yes, sorry, we're doing a little business here.
We get to play Santa Claus in here and put away presents for people.
Yes, that was a nice present too. That was G. Loomis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've seen several TFOs going out the door today.
Good, good.
A couple of Loomis. I mean, along with the regular Shimano and Quantum, the Pen, we've got battle combos coming in at the beginning of the week.
We can't keep them in stock long.
Unbelievable.
Enough.
So, anyway, sorry about that. But anyway, small redfish up the river.
Yeah. I think they're getting eaten by the bigger redfish. I think that's why they're up there.
That's what that big, you've been saying you're catching these redfish with these marks on them, the overbite marks.
No, these ones didn't have overbite marks. You know, and if they don't see that overbite mark, that tells me that it's going to be a fish where its lips line up completely. And you get that with the redfish. And there's no teeth marks. It's like a bruise. It's
gotcha.
A big bruise. Now, usually with a snook or a tarpon, you get a thin line because it's just that bony section of its lip.
Right.
But the redfish's mouth is so wide and so strong, and they have those small teeth that it'll leave like a bruise mark on your white bait.
So how big are these?
You're seeing the same thing on these smaller redfish. They're anywhere between 8 to 12 inches.
Yeah, and that's a 30-inch redfish. That's just about the right size for dinner.
Yeah, it'll fit.
Oh, yeah, it'll definitely fit. So, anyway, but that's not that uncommon. My favorite lure for rainbow trout is a rainbow trout color
right,
lure.
Right.
I mean, we don't think of snook and redfish doing that, but it would just stand to reason. Virtually every other fish does, from trout.
There's a lot of times where we assign human qualities to animals and we shouldn't.
Yeah, that's you know
they don't behave the way we do sometimes.
I always say life is no friggin' tea party.
Yeah, because exactly. It's not a Disney movie.
No, when you get out in the water, if it's bigger than you, it eats you.
Exactly.
If it's the same as you and it's bigger than you, it eats you.
Yeah.
And the only prerequisite for being lunch is that,
can I catch it? Does it fit?
Yeah. Will it? Can I swallow it? So, yeah.
You know, the big thing with fishing upriver is going to be bait presentation. A lot of current up there. Don't peg it to the bottom. These holes, these deeper holes that we're fishing on the river.
That's the current.
That's the current?
That's the current, yes. Sounds more like the toilet filling up, but it was supposed to be current to help out your story.
When you get that current, these are big holes. They're long. You know, some of these are a couple hundred yards long. You want to cover as much ground as you can.
What the heck?
What are you doing?
It wasn't supposed to be
that. Your flapper valve is stuck.
Yes.
There you go.
There we go.
You don't want to free line it because then it flies through there too quick and the redfish can't find it. Keep in mind, still murky up there a little bit, so they're still running on their sense of smell.
Yeah, and the river's down to 1.75, so it's going to be, but it's still going to be a little while before it really cleans out.
It's how far are you going to chase that cheeseburger at 45 mile an hour? You're not, you know. But then at the same time, you don't want to peg it to the bottom because you want to cover that ground of that hole. They're not sitting everywhere in that hole,
right?
But they don't move, even when they bite. And they hit, and they strike. They don't move. It's not like a redfish screaming for the next zip code out of the mangroves.
Hmm.
They're staying in that area. They want to be there.
Something's there, they're eating. And a lot of people don't realize is how many shrimp come down from upriver. I'm licensed. I have a commercial fishing license, restricted species and all that. So I'm allowed to take a shrimp trawl and go up and down places with it. I can legally pull a shrimp trawl. And we do it to test what's up there and see what's going on. And there's a lot of shrimp up there.
Yeah.
A lot of shrimp.
There's a lot of shrimp. There's a lot of crabs. We pulled in a chunk of wood, and the girl dropped it on the deck of the boat, and probably 50 crabs come flying out of this little chunk of wood.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of food that's up there for these fish. And I think that's what brings them up the river. It's perfect temperatures, a lot of food. And so, anyway, anything else you can think of for today?
Another thing that really struck me was the amount of river shad up at Liverpool.
Wow.
And they were river shad dying on the vine.
Yeah, because there's too much saltwater there for them. They need to be up yep. you know, and you get the boat behind them and scoot them up river because they got to get up past. Used to be they could live at Liverpool and up in Lettuce Lake and stuff, but most of the Artesian springs have dried up.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose a lot of shad up there.
But it's nice to see those river shad coming down because something is going to come to eat the river shad. And it's usually those snook coming back up the river that are going to eat those river shad. Now's the time where you want to start fishing your bridges and your trestles upstream of the river. 761, the old burned out trestle above that, Shell Creek,
Fort Ogden.
17. Yeah. I would probably, but I'm probably going to do it next week if I have a day off, is to run up to the Shell Creek Dam and see what's kicking around up there.
I would say go up to Liverpool and net a nice bunch of bait.
Yeah.
And then just go around, and you're going to find the tarpon. You're going to find the snook. They're all up there.
Oh, there was a ton of tarpon in the first left-hand turn up past the power lines up above Harbor Heights. I mean, it's rolling constantly.
If you would have had a live well full of those river shad, you would have been playing with tarpon.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
So, anyway, I guess we just decided we wanted to chat for a while and get you guys in a loop. And how weird is it? I've never actually... Either I never noticed or I've never seen it, the small redfish getting eaten with those big bite marks around them.
I've never really seen it. I mean, you see fish with bite marks, and you can usually tell, you know, hey, he got hit by a dolphin or something like that. And these obviously weren't dolphin marks.
They would be dead. I mean, they'd be exactly. swallowed, yes. So
you see just the goofy pattern of the bite marks. It looks exactly like when the redfish grabs your white bait and squeezes the snot out of it.
Yeah.
It's crushed. It's not bitten.
No.
And that's what it looked like. And I even felt the wounds, and it was soft.
I wish you would have got pictures of that.
Yeah, I wish I would have too, but...
You're on a charter. You're busy. Yeah. You forget.
Yeah, but even feeling them and how soft they were and mushy they were in those areas, I mean, it was definitely a crushing bite.
So it leaves one of two choices. Most likely those big redfish you've been catching, those 10-pound redfish eating them, or possibly a school of black drum. But I'm going to go with the redfish.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the redfish, too, because we haven't been catching any black drum in with them.
Yeah.
But we've been catching big redfish, and it's not very often you find big redfish consistent up that river.
Yeah. Well, Captain Kale, still on those big 10-pound redfish, still having real good trips. And... this is Fish and Frank, and I want to wish you happy holidays. And, Kale, anybody you want to wish Merry Christmas to?
I got to get to my family up in Pennsylvania. My brother, my aunt, my nephews. I hope they have a good Christmas up there.
Go ahead and name them off. Say hi, everybody.
Chad and Christy Wills, my Aunt Lynn, my Uncle Bill, my nephews Trevor and Trevor and... Trevor.
Yeah, I did the same thing with my granddaughter's name. I'm like, come on, I can't get it out. It's Genevieve, for God's sakes.
Well, that's a hard name there.
Well, like I say, it's Jen. Just sometimes you're, you know, it's Yaya.
Yeah.
She was a year and a half old when she decided
her
name was
Trevor
wrong.
And Trenton. They have a good Christmas.
Okay. Well, Merry Christmas to everybody up in Pennsylvania and all the rest of the places. And we'll see you on the next Wishing I Was Fishing. This is Fish and Frank saying happy holidays.